Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 40, episode 4 of The Daily Zeitgeist!
Yeah.
For July 19th, 2018, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. DJ Jaxie Jeff, courtesy of at Tico, and I am thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
One Miles Gray, you're gonna want me for your boy.
Thank you.
Whoa,
to...
Was that screwed there?
Yeah, I had to
chop and screw that one.
At Death Star Hip Hop, for that one fine day, you know, aka one fine day, actually one of my favorite rom-coms. I went to the Burbank AMC 14 when it was still around to see that with the homegirls Chris Neguza and Megan Huntley.
Shout out.
I bought them a bunch of Diet Coke and they never reciprocated the kindness. They didn't buy me a drink when we saw the Baz Luhrmann, Romeo and Juliet, but that's beside the point.
Wait, what is One Fine Day? Who's in that one?
With George Clooney and Michelle Pfeiffer? What?
I was just making sure everybody in the room knows.
Okay.
For our listeners, because they're young.
You lived in New York and you don't know One Fine Day?
Our guests are outraged right now. Speaking of which, we are thrilled to be joined in our third and fourth seats by the hosts of the hilarious self-help podcast, Jammers, on the Starburns Network. Please welcome Wendy Starling and Megan Rice!
Hello!
You're checked in.
How are you?
We are angry.
I was doing fine, and I'm very upset and would like to leave.
Okay. Yeah. I apologize.
I am offended. One fine day.
I thought by his scream at the beginning. Usually, that's my favorite part of the podcast.
I was into that.
The uninitiated. Whoa, yeah. Yeah, when they go, what the fuck show are we on? This guy's screaming in German.
This is the wrong show. Yeah, the George Clooney thing come on now.
Yeah, I know.
Classic. Isn't that the movie where he got hit by a motorcycle in Italy? Is that what I'm thinking? Yeah.
No.
Yes.
Wait, which one's that?
He just got hit by a motorcycle.
Oh, he did?
Got into a motorcycle accident.
It was he was going 62. Oh, he should have died, but he's George Clooney, so you know the studios would not allow that to happen.
Yeah, right. Or the deep state.
Yeah.
Same
thing.
Exactly.
Deep state. Yeah, the studios.
It was weird.
Smiled and bobbled his head at fate.
He was carried away by a bunch of lizards. They just center the earth.
All right. We're going to get to know you guys a little bit better in a moment, but first we like to tell our listeners what they're in store for. We are going to be talking about what happens when you Google search the phrase idiot right now on Google image search. We're going to talk about Miles's concern for Netflix and their stock price. Okay. We're going to talk about Mark Zuckerberg, aka Narc Zuckerberg, and just where he's coming from these days, what his concerns are as the head of the most powerful thing on earth. We're going to talk about the fact that Trump is considering sending a bunch of American people and Christopher Steele to be interrogated by Russians, which he thinks should go fine. We are going to talk about some intelligence that is suggesting we are in a pre-9/11 moment right now. You might remember the pre-9/11 moment as the summer of the shark, when Time magazine reported had a shark on the cover because there was a shark attack, or like one person died from a shark attack, and they were like, summer of the shark.
Wait,
this is
really?
What we have to worry about. Yeah.
Wow.
The summer of 2001 was coined the summer of the shark by Time magazine because there was a fatal shark attack. That was what everybody was
now, was
worried
that before
about.
Or after 9/11 happened? Because it seems like the timing on that's going to be very irresponsible.
It was before.
Okay.
We're also going to talk about some conservative responses to Sacha Baron Cohen's newest project, Who is America? We're going to do a pop culture / Google trend skim. We haven't done one of those in a while. And if we have time, we're going to talk about China's Lord of the Rings, which turns out not quite as successful as America's Lord of the Rings. But first up, guys, we like to ask our guests, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are as a human being or human beings? Oh shit.
I know.
I'll tell you. How revealing do you want us to get?
I can start, and this is going to make me look like a much better person than I am.
Okay.
The last thing that I searched, and is still up on my Safari, is the website for the Doe Fund. So look at me, doe.org.
That's very responsible of you.
I don't know what the Doe Fund is.
The Doe Fund is, it's a New York-based charity. New York is the best country in the world. And I live in New York, and the Doe Fund It started in like 1985, but if you live in New York, they're the blue trash cans all over the place.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And they specifically, it's a charity that helps people who are incarcerated or addicted to drugs, homeless, HIV, AIDS, just the people that are on the fringe of society. Mm-hmm. And it's an organization that helps to rehabilitate them and give them jobs with the community. And
nice.
That's, yeah.
What do you put in the blue trash cans?
Money.
Yeah. Oh, money.
All okay. of your money.
Money.
My bad.
Yeah, no, it's a great organization. See, okay. Well, that made me look, I was real nervous about that. I was like, I'm going to have to lie.
This is great because I was going to lie, but now I feel like, what's the point? Because I need to balance this out.
Right.
So
right.
we don't look like really smart and helpful people. My last Google search was dogs farting and scaring themselves.
Oh.
Yeah. So
you win.
Really?
Just you
bouncing
win.
Everything out.
We are from the same planet.
Oh my God. And we actually, we have footage of that on our Instagram story.
Me. I was having a blast. We were supposed to be prepping for a barbecue.
Yeah.
But I was watching videos of dogs farting and being scared.
Amazing. Yep.
What better way to prep for a barbecue?
It's true.
How have they not figured it out? I still don't understand. My dog, when he farts, acts like some, bomb has gone off. I don't know.
Well, yeah, you don't know what his tongue feels like when that fart goes off. It may well feel like a bomb.
What is something you guys think is overrated?
I'll sound like a real old. I think Instagram stories are super overrated. I don't understand them, and I don't get why they're more popular than just like
the
regular
photos.
Instagram. I don't mm-hmm. get it.
I think it's just
they
because
disappear.
Right. That's why I think, because it's like limited time only.
Yeah, but see,
it's
I'm an elderly woman, so I'm like, but don't you want to save it for when you watch it
posterity.
Again?
Posterity.
Oh, I'll show you how to save it before I post my stories. I immediately save it, so I can watch you watching dogs fart forever.
Right.
Everyone else can watch it for a short amount of time, but that's going to be on my phone for the rest of my life.
Oh, thank God.
I think people just like when I find myself using. Although most of the people who put stories up should not be, because they're just nonsense. It's like nothing at all.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just one of those things where you can just get sucked into mindless scrolling, essentially. Mm-hmm. And that's all it is.
That's what I was going to say, mindless. Because it keeps going. So you just sit there and it goes to the next person's, the next person's, then you're dead.
Yeah, right.
and then it's 50 years later and you've never met your grandchildren.
And you're still sitting on that same toilet. Right. You should meet your grandchildren. I'm like, there's still more stories.
Gotta get to the end. What is something you guys think is underrated?
Underrated. I'm gonna go with the bacon maple donut.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I think it's underrated because first, I've tried one in every city I go to, and
really?
I'm going to California Donuts later today. That's my reward because I exercised for 5 minutes. no, I think people they're like, oh, it's good, but it's probably one of my favorite things I've ever eaten.
Yeah.
And then the trick is if you rip it, like you get the maple bar.
Uh huh.
Here's the trick.
Oh, Jesus.
Wait, here's the trick.
There's
to
a
just
process.
Eating a
yeah, there's a process.
No,
I like this.
If you do it, because the problem, I figured out the way to do it. It's really phenomenal. It's like the best sandwich you'll ever eat.
Is it always a bar? Does it always come with
a
bar?
I like the bar because what I do is I rip it in half and then I flip the top part with the frosting and the bacon over and smash it down so that it's in the middle like a sandwich.
Like an inside out boy kind of thing?
Yeah. And it's fucking delicious. I don't know if I can cuss on this, but
no,
it's
you can.
Fucking
when you
delicious.
Talk, but only in regards to baked goods.
Yeah, because people were like, "Oh, this is it's a good donut," but it's my favorite thing, and I'm obsessed with it.
Are they pieces of bacon? Like,
well, the California donut one, and that's kind of the when I used to live here, I would always get this. They do full strips.
Full strips.
Ooh. Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that would concern me because I would. Is it really super crispy? Like you bite through it, and it's just.
No, it's like a medium. It's like a medium. It's not overly soaked in the maple bacon.
Got it.
It's like a perfect. It's really the perfect.
Wait,
balance.
Why are you pulling a face over?
Well, no, I'd just be worried about like chewy bacon strips, and then like it's like coming out
like
of
too
the donut.
Sinewy or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, yeah.
Nah.
It's just a raw piece of bacon.
Yeah,
flop
yeah.
on top of
so
a donut.
So it's raw bacon, yeah. right? I mean, that's
does,
what everybody does.
Voodoo
assuming.
Donuts have one like that?
I'm sure they do.
They have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's all go to Universal after this.
I know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they do.
Bypass
there are so many crazy ingredients on donuts where everything's trying to make the new like breakfast, but I think that's like the best standard. I think that's as far as it should go.
Yeah.
So full Maple. Stop of donuts.
How do you feel about cronuts?
If you it depends how much bacon's in a cronut.
Oh, so for you, it's right. bacon. It's
right.
really, it's just
well, that's
the,
a complete
the vehicle
meal.
To eat it.
It's
right.
a complete
it's,
meal.
It's healthy because there's protein.
Right.
So
right.
Protein balances the sugar of the maple.
Uh-huh.
And flour in the donut has some fiber. I'm sure of it. Please don't Google it or comment.
We like lying to ourselves.
Don't at me. Don't at me.
Please correct me. What is a myth, finally? What is something people think is true that you guys know to be false?
So this is going to be very cheesy and not to be serious, but like a little bit serious. We have a self-help show. And mostly we screw around and are very fun, but this is a serious one. I personally think that willpower is a myth, and I believe that it's decision-making. That's very lame and like mom.
Unpack this for us.
Yeah, can you give us an example?
Well, no, because especially in our show, like Megan and I, this is, we started the podcast because we've been best friends for a long time and we're always like, okay, for reals, we're going to stop eating cheese and stop eating maple bacon donuts. And like, we're going to go to the, you know, that's, right. I think everybody's like, okay, right. I'm really going to turn it around this time.
Right.
Tomorrow.
Yeah. And yeah. And I used
this
to,
time tomorrow.
Right. And like, and by turn it around, I mean the top of the donut into right. the middle. Like this
into
is how,
a sandwich.
There's got to be a way to make this the best thing I've ever right. eaten. Turn it around. But, and even when I used to be a personal trainer before I did comedy, I've just learned that like a lot of people with trying to lose weight or quit smoking or quit drinking or go to the, or do anything, quit eating sugar. They're like, ah, oh, man, you just have such good self-control. I just don't have the willpower. And I'm like, no, 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 I don't have willpower. I just, if I want to make a change, I go like, okay, this, I'm making this decision.
Right. It's more like a binary choice or something.
Right. And I so I like for me, like, you know, and to be like, okay, I don't want to go to the gym. It's like, we, I'd rather, you know, lay around and eat ice cream. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, but I need to do this thing. Or like with working on a project, there's something, but I, so that's something that I've been like forcing myself to do is like create better habits. And it sucks and it's very boring, but I just try to make a better decision.
Yeah. And I think sometimes good decisions can be like can kind of feed on themselves a little bit. So yeah. It's not like, okay, I've made my one good decision for the day and I'm exhausted.
Backslide.
Right. Now time right. to get drunk and smoke a pack
right.
of cigarettes.
Right. Right.
Which is still fine.
Right.
But that's how you get rid of all the toxins from the donut. The cigarettes.
That's right. Pack it in.
Megan, what about you?
Oh, waiting 30 minutes to swim after you eat.
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
That's a total myth. I've eaten plenty of pizza while swimming in pools, so and I'm still alive today.
Right,
that's amazing.
That was a what we were was made up by Big Lifeguard or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, Big Lifeguard.
Big Lifeguard.
Big Lifeguard is the one.
It's,
who,
I think it was Big Mom. I
yeah,
think
right.
Big Mom.
I think it's Big Adult Swim. Yeah, it's yeah. big. The people, the adults want to get in and have a little fun, yeah. and it's just people who want kids out of the pool.
Because the idea was if you eat, then the digestion is pulling all the blood away from your limbs into your stomach. Therefore, your like limbs would just go numb and you drown.
Well,
I think
it was cramping. I was because like, oh, you might get a stomach cramp.
Yeah. I read a version that it was the blood flow goes
Wise.
Away from your extremities.
See, if it was true, there'd be one reason.
Yeah.
There'd only be one all, reason.
And there would be dead bodies in every pool because
yeah.
nobody follows that.
Every mm-hmm. kid would be dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like we're like, oh, good, an upbeat myth. And yeah. then he's like, and everyone's dead in a pool. Okay, so now what's going on with Trump?
So the news, am I right?
So Reddit has done their work, and they have essentially Google bombed Google image search so that when you search the word idiot right now, it retrieves a sea of Trump faces looking stupid.
Wow.
And also that woman who called Piers Morgan an idiot last week.
Yes.
Because he kept implying that she should have protested Obama if she was going to protest Trump. And she was like, I did. I'm a communist, you fucking idiot. She was amazing.
You cock.
If you're wondering who that other person is. But mostly it's just Trump
faces.
Yeah,
the first five. All
yeah.
right. This is what the power of, see, then they say there aren't activists out here.
Exactly.
Changing
doing
Google.
The work we need.
Yeah, right.
How many people have to do, how, like, what's the numbers on that to get that to happen?
I have no idea.
A lot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
Large.
Reddit is, in fact, the front page of the internet. So I guess they have the whole internet. They got the whole internet together to do it.
I'm yeah. impressed. Good
well,
team.
It depends yeah. on what sub it was on. Because, yeah, certain ones, some subs are, like, just in the business of, like, change. Like, they just, like, they love to be able to game the Google search algorithm.
Right.
Be like, do this so this dog with an apple on its head comes up when you search LP or whatever.
Yeah. Right. I would like a Reddit group to go in. I'm not even on there. But now I want to be like, how about here's another challenge. Let's work to eliminate every picture of Trump off the internet. Because I think he's one of those people that I think will probably get off on, like,
he'd They're be like, more upset about that than
yes.
his
yes.
face popping
yep.
up when
that
it's,
that would
when
fuck
you type
with his
idiot.
Confidence and fuck with him more if everyone just like stopped talking. Be like, okay, well, he's an asshole and he'll be out and now
well,
who are we going
like
to get
a,
in there
He's
instead?
Like a baby yeah. throwing a tantrum.
Yeah.
If you ignore the crying baby, it's going to stop crying.
Like we have to
like,
work
oh,
to, I mean,
this isn't working anymore.
Yeah, he's clearly like an asshole and a bad guy and we have to like get him out of there. But I think that the energy used into being like, let's get him in the front where it shows up when it says idiot is like, couldn't that be used towards like, I don't know, getting people to sign petitions and getting people registered
well,
to vote?
Well, it's just so passive because like, just upvote this.
Right? Yeah.
And it'll help. So I guess with
and
a,
it's easier.
A move of your finger.
It's a lot
Although
easier.
With a move of your finger, you could call a senator.
Right,
yeah.
so
not to bum
too.
You,
but then you got
to
use your voice and talk to a person.
You know what? Ooh. Fuck it. Maybe I'll just make pre-recorded shit. I mean, if you're that fucking lazy, just go to this website, click two fucking buttons, and then I'll do a myriad of voices.
Yeah,
you
know?
That's a great idea.
You were doing a really great Australian accent before we started recording.
Thank
do
you.
It.
But they probably won't take it seriously. Yeah, they're gonna be like nah. This fucking Australian guy who gives a shit about him.
Oh yeah, he's like, oh that's right. Yeah, do all these foreign accents. They're just like delete.
Hey, we'll get a few. We'll get a few in there.
Miles, let's talk about Netflix.
Oh, I'm so worried about them. I don't know about y'all.
Explain.
Well,
us why.
I own a lot of Netflix stock. Some might say I'm the majority shareholder.
Right.
And by some, I mean me when I'm really high and I'm trying to brag to people at Chili's. But no, what's really happening is they just announced that they fell short of their subscriber growth goals for the second quarter of this year. So they projected that they would add 6.2 million people. That's great. I mean, 6.2 is a lot of people.
In America? Or
I think just overall their business, like they would get.
Who doesn't already have Netflix that has the internet?
Well, it's because it's expanding to other countries now. You know what I mean? So now everyone's starting to get that bug. And they fell short by a million, which isn't disastrous. I mean, that's a huge number, but not that disastrous considering they've fallen short before. But when you're a publicly traded company and you fall short of your goals, that tends to have effect on your stock. And it fell 14%. Now, I don't know. Like, I just feel like this new. I don't know if it's because people have like reached peak Netflix and they're just like, yeah, everyone who's gonna have it has it already, or if it's because there's too much content that people are just like, I don't even know what's on there. I just feel like there's so much new stuff now, I can't keep up with what's on Netflix, and I'm constantly just like, I'm sort of overwhelmed by how much more like original content they have.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, the thing is, they probably have more people watching it, but everyone's just sharing the same password. So it's like, shouldn't be like who starts a new account. It should be how many people are actually watching it. So they need to put cameras in our televisions and our laptops.
They're already there.
I know, but like they need to be watching
that
footage.
They need to start watching us more.
What's wrong with you, Netflix?
I clean off my little camera on my laptop and I dress up real fancy when I watch scary movies. I hope someone's watching.
Yeah. I always put lipstick on before I check my email.
Yeah
just in case.
Yeah. Me too. That's because I like to make my own compromat, basically. So my own compromising material. That
ship
way,
I'm ahead of it.
I'm like, I know what I was doing.
And that's a good example for kids. Netflix, they set a really high goal. They didn't reach it. Low bar. Right. Low bar.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like there's a built-in glitch in the world of capitalism where all companies need to show growth, even if like they're at a good size already. This is like a good size for our company. They're always like, okay, what's the next thing we need to do? Yeah. And it's like, that's not your lane.
How
like,
do we get babies jobs so then they can pay for Netflix? Like,
exactly. Wait, it's just, I don't know. Sometimes you should just be happy with where you're at. And the fact that adding 5 million is like, wow, look at these losers.
Yeah.
Well,
they deficit spend like crazy, which I've never sort of been like, what is going on? Because, you know, Shonda Rhimes and like Ryan Murphy just signed like exclusive deals. Like Shondaland is just only going to make content for Netflix. And they're saying that deal is like $100 million.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? And from, you know, industry bros I've talked to, a lot of people are saying like they're just trying to get so big that it's like an inevitability that Google or Apple just like, okay, we'll buy you now because you've just become so huge that we'll just buy you.
And there will only be four companies in like 5 years from now, so that makes total sense.
Apple, Google, Taco Bell, and Raytheon.
Well, Apple and Facebook are both trying to launch their and I guess Google with YouTube are trying to launch their like content wings and not having a whole lot of success.
It's going to just be one.
I feel like they came too late.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's why you just acquire everything.
Exactly. It's just one company.
Welcome to the United States of Apple's on book. Just like Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Huh?
Yeah. But I mean, it's part of the same, like Apple and Google. How do we show growth? By buying every other company.
Right.
And then it's just four massive companies competing and in the future wars for Applezon.
I mean, pretty soon, Applezon. Oof. Off I-10, the Cabazon exit. Come to Applezon.
Yeah.
It's a deep cut joke for people who drive in the deserts. Yeah.
Apples on, they have discounted Ray-Bans. I swear to God, they're right.
The Apples on outlets. Oh, the Donna Karen one. My mom loves it.
It's also interesting because we've never really seen a company go from being like prestige entertainment to then now they're going into like network entertainment, like Shonda Rhimes and like Ryan Murphy. It's usually the other way around, right? Like HBO has never been like, all right, and now we're releasing 2 and a Half Men.
Right.
Like HBO brings you Two Broke Girls.
I don't know. Is it sustainable, this whole thing? Like, have any of you gotten tired of all the amount of Netflix exclusive things that are out there? Or do you watch Netflix much to even care?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have cable. Like, I think most people, I have Hulu and Netflix.
Right. And then other times I'm like, well, The Office is on here and other weird shit. I'm like, I'll regress and go back in
time to watch it rather than new stuff. I almost never watch the new stuff. And it's so much fucking new
What's
stuff.
A show on Netflix that you watch over and over that you...
Forensic Files.
Oh, wow.
Is that on Netflix?
It is.
See, I just moved into my first apartment with a television in the last eight years of my life. And wow. I have a TV and it comes with cable. So I'm just Oh, I'm very excited. But I watch a lot of CNBC and
like a real
CNBC,
nerd.
CNBC, yep. Wow.
See, that's how you can tell New York's a great city is because people, I know so many people who live in New York who are just like, yeah, I don't have TV or ever watch it because there's so much shit to do in New York City.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the Netflix thing, I started watching Mad Men and I really like it.
Oh. Mad Men is a great show.
John Hamm is so handsome.
Check out TLC, Dr. Pimple Popper. Uh-oh. Yo, shit is crazy.
That's on Netflix?
Yes.
Too much.
No, it's not on Netflix. TLC's it's on TLC.
Thank you.
TLC.
I want something just for those of us with TVs.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, fuck you.
I just watched an episode of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee for the first time.
Oh, God.
And it's, I can't believe this is a thing. Like, it answers the question, what if one of your dad's conservative friends were able to force one of your comedy heroes into a long, awkward conversation? It's like Seinfeld, like, has all these, like, takes. Like, he's very conservative now, and he, like, brings up the fact that, like, colleges are the only place where you can't say offensive things, and they're, like, the center of thought control, like, very Ben Shapiro shit, and Zach Galifianakis is just like, uh-huh.
Right.
And then like Zach Galifianakis complains about how like people are like always sticking cameras in his face and he's like, why do you worry about it? Like it's no big deal. Like just giving like all the very like dad core takes on everything. Like it's just like you should be happy. It's great. You work in Hollywood. And that episode kind of pays off because it ends with that episode of Between Two Ferns where Zach Galifianakis is able to say all the things that are actually true about Seinfeld.
Right. Well, it's funny when the guy who's like a Porsche addict is talking to a dude who's been driving the same Subaru for like years. And he's like, oh, it's Hollywood. You love
There's
it.
Literally a part where he picks Zach Galifianakis up at his house and then.
In a VW thing.
Right. In a VW thing.
I saw it. That was a phenomenal episode. I was uncomfortable the whole time.
Yes.
And at the end, I was clapping.
And then Zach Galifianakis talks about how they're like in the process of moving. And he was like, yeah, I was going to bring up like your house isn't very impressive. And I was surprised by that.
He fucking says that?
Yeah, he says that.
Sorry,
he was like, I was a little disappointed.
No, you can curse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was like, I was a little disappointed.
What a prick.
Yeah.
What does that mean? Like, yeah. I guess because he feels everyone has to conform to his idea of like once you make it.
He was like, you're very famous. I mean, I was expecting a bigger. Yeah. It's just like how.
You don't have a gatekeeper?
Right.
Like, a gatekeeper? Where's your carriage house?
It's just like how he's been talking to his like billionaire Hollywood friends forever.
That
and
made
it's
my tummy
just
hurt.
So strange.
No, that was weird. And then even like he asked him about like, yeah, the thing with the house, that was crazy. He's like, yeah, I was going to say, it's not very impressive. I mean, you're a big star. And he's like, well, okay, whatever. And then. He was like, so you think Hangover, if you had never done the sequels, the first one would be like a classic?
Yeah.
Just was like talking
off
shit.
The rip.
Yeah. Well, that was during Between Two Ferns, which I feel like he was allowed to come back.
Oh, that's
with
right.
A
he said
bit.
It there. That was funny.
But
still,
Seinfeld
I feel nauseous.
Is,
that made me feel nauseous.
Seinfeld
it's so gross.
Bums me out like in so many ways these days. Just a reminder, he picked up a girl in Central Park when he was like when Seinfeld was on the air and he was in his mid-30s. He picked up a high school student and like went on dates with her.
Mm-hmm.
And his big
well,
thing
what's
now,
the big deal?
His big thing now is audiences are too PC because they don't laugh at his joke about when we scroll through our phones, we look like a gay French king. He's like, just because I say gay, like they all tighten up. And it's like, no, it's because like that joke doesn't really make like you could just say like a French king because he's like doing like this thing, you know, with like swiping with one finger. But it's just like it's an unnecessary detail to the joke that just makes it like, okay, do you have a problem with gay people? Like, I think anybody responds to it that way. It's just but he has chosen that to be like, okay, so. Clearly, everyone else has changed. It's not that I've gotten less funny.
Just lazier.
Yeah,
it's not a joke. You're just being like, oh, you could just distill that joke down to be like, aren't gay people weird with their hands?
Right. Yeah. We act like them sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And also them.
Right.
We.
Yeah, exactly.
Act like them.
Yeah.
That's, ugh.
Thanks, Jerry.
This is what Seinfeld's talking about. Thought control, guys. Watch out for it.
You can tell it's a straight kid because he flexes his bicep and he swipes like this. And goes, pussy.
Yeah.
I don't know if I can say that.
His fucking sleeve explodes when the bicep just shoots out.
But anyways, this is a show that was on Crackle. I got credit for it back when I was at Cracked because people were like, oh, Cracked? I love the comedians in cars getting coffee. And I was like, uh-huh. Uh-huh. So it was like my dad's friends and stuff. I'd just be like, yeah.
And they do.
That's what
it.
I do. But Netflix needs to get all the content. So, you know.
And now they have what?
I feel like pretty soon we got to have a stand-up special on Netflix. Right? Everybody has
non-comedians are going to have just everyone in America gets a stand-up
soon,
special.
Yeah. It's like Edith, you know, that lady from down the street with the
your
cool
mom's
succulents.
High school friend?
Yeah, like, wow, okay.
At the same time, they do put out good stuff. It's like if 80% of it isn't great, there's still like 20% that is
good.
Amazing. I'm fine with them paying too much for stand-up specials because
I just,
you know,
like the bullshit holiday romantic movies that come out. That they just hit like 40 like Christmas movies at once.
Uh-huh.
I love that dumb shit.
Yeah. All right.
Mar Vista Productions.
No, Prisons. They get a shout out.
Yeah.
Right. Because everyone knows, as I was watching, I had this thing during the holidays. I was like, we're going to watch a Christmas movie every day, like get in the zone. And then the title card every time was like, Mar Vista Productions. And you're like, damn, they made all of these
dumb
movies.
What do you think Lifetime's going to do?
I was just going to say, so is that like a knockoff of the Lifetime original movie?
They must work with in tandem with them.
Every movie is starring Dean Cain.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
What was the worst, best holiday movie that you watched?
What was the one that was the prince where the woman went to go talk to the Christmas
Purple
prince,
Rain?
I think it was called?
Purple Rain, a Christmas prince.
Purple Rain, a Christmas prince.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. Miles just said something very smart.
What?
The democratization of content creation.
That's what I'm saying, man. It's sometimes, you know, when everyone has access to it, it can be a lot of shit out there. Anyway.
Instagram stories.
Put that on my tombstone.
Who needs
that?
We just made one and it was great.
Oh, yeah. With pepperoni.
So, Miles, explain what's going on with Zuck.
Well, there have been a lot of people being like, hey, why are sites like InfoWars and the Daily Caller on Facebook, if you're like really serious about, you know, getting rid of fake news and shit on Facebook and contributing to the misinformation that people experience. He had an interview with Kara Swisher from Recode. And this sort of quote just stuck out to me because a lot of people were like, yo, you know, the InfoWars deals and shit, like calling school shootings false flag things and calling gunshot victims like crisis actors, whatever. Like, how can that rock on the site? And then so as the conversation goes on, he talks a little bit more and says, this is a quote. So I'm Jewish and there's a set of people who deny that the Holocaust happened. I find that deeply offensive, but at the end of the day, I don't believe that our platform should take that down because I think there are things that different people get wrong. I don't think that they're intentionally getting it wrong. It's hard to impugn intent and to understand the intent.
Interesting legal argument.
Yeah, and that's when I was like, my man, what are you saying? People deny the Holocaust very intentionally. Right. There aren't people who are like, I don't know. I mean,
are him and Kanye West hanging out and just like sharing info with each other?
No, it was just very, and Kara Swisher pushed back and was like, I don't think Holocaust deniers are unintentionally getting that wrong. Like, that's clearly a rhetoric of a certain hate
and
group.
To even talk about intent is a really weird look for him because he has multiple platforms. So Facebook in Sri Lanka, I think, was causing like giant mobs to attack
mobs,
people
like
over being
and
Muslim.
Myanmar too.
And Myanmar. And now WhatsApp is causing, there's been like, Sir producer Anna Hosnia was talking about how there were like multiple, I think there's 24 people who have been killed because of these viral videos that are being passed around on WhatsApp. And because it's completely without context, they're like editing something from a PSA about kidnapping. And they're saying, see, this person is actually kidnapping kids in India. And these angry mobs have started like killing people. Now, who knows if it's being done intentionally or not, but that is on you, man. Like those are your platforms. And the only person who's going to be able to stop those things from getting passed around and like actually literally causing angry mobs to kill people is you. And like, so stop worrying about fucking intent, homie.
Yeah.
Shit, I didn't know that. What that's, we watch a lot. Again, what we watched CNBC and dogs farting. Mm-hmm. So that's insane.
Yeah.
That's really happening.
Yeah.
Oh my
God. It's just a really lame excuse for him to, like,
I know he came out today and was like, I was not trying to defend Holocaust deniers at all. He was like, I'm just trying to, you know, clarify our stance, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But you, my guy.
He's like, I'm just trying to make as much money as possible and pacify everybody.
Yeah.
Right. And I think the issue here is that the conservative media has got to him, like, basically, because, you know, there's a whole thing when Diamond and Silk, those two problematic black women who are just like all Trump stands and like they're saying Facebook is censoring us and our fans can't see our videos. They're like media pages on Facebook across the board were getting like lower interaction. And there was no proof that they were being censored. But again, it's like forced Facebook to like apologize to them or other like, you know, very far right like media pages that are on Facebook. Because on the right, they're sort of crying like we're victims of censorship, even though what they're pushing is straight up BS propaganda or at the very least, the walks a fine line between, you know, just total misinformation. And then Democrats are they're coming at him, too, because they're like, yo, you need to get this stuff off of here. Like, this is terrible. It's already contributing to an already tense environment in this country. And so he's like in this weird spot because both parties do have the power to begin regulating Facebook, too. So there's also been this big push of Facebook reaching out to more conservatives and being like, hey, like, you know, we're good, man. So don't criticize us.
Twitter as well. Yeah.
And it's bullshit because at the end of the day, they fear this criticism that they're censoring people or whatever. But if you're dealing in hatred and just vitriolic nonsense, then I don't think you have a real leg to stand on in an argument about like why your media or your content is being wiped off.
No, well, on Facebook, there's something that beyond this has started happening a while ago. There's a comic in New York, Marsha Belsky. I don't know if you guys have followed this at all. She has tons and tons of documentation of this. She'll go on Facebook and be like, men are scum, and that's hate speech, but men can put all kinds of terrible stuff about women. Like, this is a pattern that Facebook does where they censor women saying anything negative about men, but men can say all this stuff, and they're like, well, it's not actual hate speech. Like, Marsha Belsky, she's find her on social media, it's crazy.
Yeah,
but they like it's they he very much like you can see him pick and choose, and it's a weird thing because I understand, like, oh, free speech, and this is a platform where we share things,
right?
But it's idiotic for us to pretend like they're not sitting there working algorithms to make certain things pop up more.
Right.
I got a text the other day. I barely go on Facebook. It was with Megan. I barely look at it. I don't have the app on my phone. I got a text message to my phone, the message app, and it said, hey, wish so-and-so a happy birthday. Or someone, Facebook is texting me because I don't check it.
Right.
It's texting me to go, hey, your sister put a comment on a photo.
Get
and I'm like,
on here. Come
it's
on. Come terrible.
So
hey, come on, man.
They're
Would you
absolutely
miss this man?
They absolutely have control over what people see, and it's disgusting.
Well, no, then people say that their censorship rules are just sort of to protect like white men.
Mm-hmm.
Because even people who put stuff like, oh, white people are racist, they're like, whoa, white people? Hold on.
White men, they need the most protecting. They really do.
We're very delicate. You guys.
I mean, yeah.
Leave us alone.
Guys, I'm starting to GoFundMe for Jack.
I've been told I'm a Hufflepuff. I think even if they're not intentionally saying we must protect white men, I think entrenched like power hierarchies just naturally, if you're just letting things happen the way that they just naturally do, the more powerful people and the more traditionally powerful voices and the, you know, voices from, like, you know, the Republicans are a bunch of white men. So, like, their voices are going to get through more than other people's voices.
Right.
Because it's like we were talking about that, like, sometimes being moderate is actually taking a very strong political position, because being moderate is basically helping out the status quo. And sometimes the status quo is really fucked up.
Well, especially when we've been dragged this far right.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah. It's really, I think it's the Overton window. I think I'm getting that phrase right.
Overton.
That by complaining and by putting criticisms of anything that is center out there as being like far left wing, they're moving everything to the far right. And
so he's in a tough spot, you know?
Yeah, that's all we're saying is leave Mark alone, cut him some slack. And also the other Mark Duplass, guys, come on. I mean, a lot of rich, out of touch white dudes.
What did he do?
Love it.
He can't expect them to not stick both their feet in their mouth at the same time.
Man, white guys got it rough.
He was saying, like, you guys should really, I mean, to my fellow liberals, like, Ben Shapiro isn't as bad as you think. Like, he helped me out when he really didn't have to. This guy's intentions are good.
Ben Shapiro is...
What? Wait, okay, but why is... What? Why is he talking about that at all?
He was probably at a party with him one time.
And he's like, I love Wild Wild Country.
People don't understand me.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's...
That's so weird.
Evil genius
gotta
is
look
amazing.
Out for their own, you know?
It's interesting when you get up, when you have that much money, it's like Seinfeld. When you're like, you're trying to make it, especially as an artist, you're like, we're, you know, we're living on the edge. And then, right. you, and then you see these people and they're like, hey guys, relax. Ben is really rich. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, liberals, relax. Have you been to Ben's house? He has two pools.
Yeah. It's right. not at all like Zach Galifianakis's. It's right. actually
yeah.
impressive.
Yeah. Right, right. Let's talk about diplomatic immunity.
Or the lack of it, right?
Yes.
So, you know, there are things trickling out, at least from the Russian side of things, from, you know, Trump and Putin had their little two-hour freestyle session with only interpreters, but nothing was on wax, so we don't know what's happening. And on the Russian media, they're coming out and clearly trolling the U.S., being like, oh, there were some really great personal agreements, the verbal agreements that the two leaders came to, without, like, specifically saying stuff. And one of the things that we found out yesterday is, like, apparently Trump was considering letting the Russians have a chat with people like former Russian Ambassador Michael McFaul or Christopher Steele, who made the Steele dossier, or Bill Browder, who we all know from the Magnitsky Act. So essentially, he was like, sort of like, hey, we'll let Robert Mueller come here and talk to these, you know, and Russians that were indicted. And then maybe you can send some of these people from America that we've made up crimes that they were involved in to like smear them. And Trump was like, yeah, well, let me think on that.
Didn't he say it was a good deal? He said he has some interesting ideas. Was that the one that
I think could have been. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean. Yeah, yeah, that
he only he makes good that, deals, yeah. guys.
I know.
It was an incredible offer.
Was he talking about the Russian thing or what, like the Honda? Right. He's like, no, the Civic, you guys, it's an incredible deal.
No, it's Honda days right now. They'll even put a bow.
Honda days.
They'll pull a bow on the top if you buy it. It's just one of those really, that to me really kind of shook me as I was reading it. I was like, wait, you're going to sell out Americans to the Kremlin because they've like concocted some weird story about how they've these Americans that I have beef with also committed crimes in Russia, so maybe you should let me talk to them. Like, no, what
right.
the like, and also too, I mean, luckily Michael McFaul is somewhat protected because of diplomatic immunity. Like, that was something that was sussed out on the Vienna Conference of Diplomatic Relations, I think back in the 60s. But like, the State Department has come out and just said like what Russia is requesting is absolutely absurd and nonsensical. And, you know, the intelligence community is like, no way. There are a lot of people in Congress, I think mostly Democrats, who are like, you can, they're, no. Like,
so Michael McFaul is the former Russian ambassador. And
yes.
The other people they're talking about, Christopher Steele, obviously we know from the Steele dossier. And then Bill Browder is the guy who created the Magnitsky Act.
Yeah,
right?
He like lobbied, yeah, to get the Magnitsky Act to impose sanctions on Russia. So that guy's clearly a thorn in Putin's side.
It's because his least favorite thing in the world. Because so, as we've talked about, Putin is the richest or second richest person in the world, but he holds the money and people around him. And the Magnitsky Act basically freezes his assets in America. And
right.
it's trying to spread that idea around the globe so that people, you know, so that Putin can't safely go wherever he wants once he, you know, is out of office and has all the money in the world.
Out of office. Yeah.
You mean just, yeah, like his physical existence ceases?
Right.
That's when he'll be out of office. And so even though on its surface it seemed absurd, and the State Department called it absurd, when Sarah Sanders was pressed about it in her briefing yesterday, her press conference yesterday, she was like, yeah, the president's is looking at that. Considering that.
Right. So this is one of the incredibly insane things that the president at his press conference with Putin said that they haven't backed away from. They haven't said, no, I meant to say would not, or said, no, I was answering a different question.
I said, wait, what? And guys, as we're recording this now, super producer Nick Stump gets in my ear and says, actually, they're reversing that now and saying, oh, we were never thinking about that.
Right.
But I guess Chuck Schumer.
Sarah Sanders was misinformed, probably.
She's a
liar.
Fired. She's a liar, actually. So don't believe her. Whatever she says is a lie. I guess Chuck Schumer is now in the Senate trying to get votes on a bill to be like, yo, absolutely not. We'll not send Michael McFaul or any American to the Kremlin for questioning. Cool.
For poisoning.
Yeah, right, exactly. A chat just basically means like we're going to pull your fingernails off with pliers and then just stomp on your body. I don't know. So we'll see what that happens.
Yeah, friendly chat. That's a friendly Russian chat.
So while we have this ingenious four-dimension chess-playing leader in charge of America, our actual intelligence, people who are actually paying attention to shit, are saying that we're not in good shape as it relates to cybersecurity, and that we're basically in a, quote, pre-9/11 moment, that they use the phrase, like, red lights blinking.
Right. Yeah, so, flash. Yeah, just like, what was it, the Phoenix memo is the thing from pre-9/11? So, yeah, the intelligence people who it's their business to protect the country are saying, hey, the Russians are still at it. They've turned the fuckery knob to fucking 14 now. They've gone past 10. They broke it. And they're still actively trying to, whether it's through misinformation campaigns or probing weaknesses in election systems, they still have very much an interest to corrupt our electoral process. And with that said, Democrats have been, they're trying to add like additional grants and spending bills to give states more money to secure elections, because they're saying, hey, all of our intelligence people are saying we are at a critical juncture and our election systems are in jeopardy. So let's give them more money. The House GOP, what do you think they said? Nah, fam. Please relax. We're okay. They have money already. It's okay. Yeah. And that makes sense, because clearly any sort of election meddling favors the GOP. So they're fine with that. Yeah. But to be fair, there is, these things are funded and there is money for election security. But at this point, the Democrats are like, I think we should augment that, because we're hearing it's a pre-9/11 moment.
Yeah, but I think not even election security, but as far as like cyber attacks, and not to be like, like deep throat over here. Uh-huh. But I have a friend, and I cannot say who this person is because this is like top secret information. He works in cybersecurity in a really high up position. And it is like, he's like, oh no, everybody is freaked out because that's going to be the next attack, they think. Is like, and I'm like, well, what? He goes, think about it. If we woke up and one day woke up and nobody in America had access to money, you couldn't get to the banks, there would be riots in the street.
Yeah.
And that's something that he's like, so, and it's crazy because the GOP, if you were like, do you guys want more money for guns and tanks? They'd be like, oh yeah, let's ride, cowboy. But we're like, can we pay these people to go in and just like make sure nobody can break into all of our shit and hack our entire like ecosystem that's online, like, because we're all so in our phones and on our everything's digital, and that's like going to be the next thing. But super scary.
A lot of, and as they say in this pre-9/11, or that they're describing it like this, they're saying they've looked at things from like energy facilities, like to grids, to banking. Like, they're not, it's not just election stuff. They're just like, they're trying everything.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So.
Yeah, power grids.
Why don't we just go fucking paper ballots on this shit?
Yeah.
That's like the easiest thing. Just be like, yo, paper.
Right.
We do them in LA.
Right.
You know, we don't use those electronic things, so just, I feel like go analog.
Paper ballots, least. Cash in your mattress.
Yeah.
Yep.
Problem solved.
Live in the woods.
Yep. Live in the woods, exactly.
Excuse me while I go withdraw all my money from all my bank accounts.
All your bank accounts? Hello, money bags.
Well, he has three beds. That's what he means.
Got to move a lot of money around. I have some Russian friends. All right, guys, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. Just really briefly, Who is America is continuing to trigger the snowflakes on the right. One of the top stories on Breitbart yesterday was the story of a gun store owner who caught on when Sacha Baron Cohen was trying to interview him in character and was basically like, oh, you're Borat, man. And so Sacha Baron Cohen just left, and that was the whole story. And they were like, Baron Cohen humiliated. And like, they just really need this for some reason. They like have a desperate... Like, down to their core, they need this guy not to get the last word on them. And also, so in important news, if you saw the Sacha Baron Cohen story about where he was getting people to agree with the idea of giving guns to three-year-olds.
Kindergartens.
He interviewed a guy who's like a big gun advocate, and that guy has come out and said that he knew halfway through the interview that it was some sort of Borat-style mockumentary, but he stuck around to make sure he was right. And by the end, he claims his worst fears were confirmed, and that, and this is the best line, they had both played each other.
Oh, wait, wow. Like,
it's how did not he clear. Play?
Where is the deception? He's like, well, I knew, and that's how I got over on him. Right. And I just... I made a fool of myself for him.
As a joke.
Yeah.
I was doing a joke, too.
Right. Yeah. Right. Oh, sorry, guys. You know, and I know I'm like a Republican gun person now, but I used to be in an improv troupe. Excuse me for
yes-anding. Yeah, exactly.
I was trying to have a good conversation. And I like how the Breitbart thing, and they were like, see, he knew it was boring. Like, the fact that he called him out, it's like, what is that, a brag? Just like, see? Sometimes people with guns have a TV, too. I went to the movies once. Y'all think you're so smart. Just like...
Tables turned. Citizens humiliate Sacha Baron Cohen during gun store prank. Video. Get the fuck out of here, Borat.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. Owned. Yeah. Pwned.
Pwned, sir.
Wow. You done it. I mean...
He's probably going to have to retire. I mean, how does he come back
from this? The problem is,
this?
There's a fucking another episode Sunday.
Yeah.
And then what the fuck are you going to do? Then next week he's going to be like, yeah, we knew when we were lynching that baby doll that
right.
I was actually playing a joke on him because I love black people.
That's why it's funny.
That's funny.
I would never kill him.
Also, my niece has a half black son.
Who we
refuse to talk to. Yeah. But that's a different story. That's because she stole something from my mother.
Uh-huh. Maybe y'all liberal snowflakes are unfamiliar with irony.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Oh, wow.
Also, I watched the video on Breitbart where they own Sacha Baron Cohen, and it ends with a gun store owner being like, if Showtime wants to see like what real America is about, they should come to us because we're pitching a reality show about our gun store.
Oh, hey!
Shut up!
It was like the most half-assed. Yeah. It was amazing that it got on the news, but it was clearly like the local news knew this was going to be the video that paid for their, I don't know, online department.
But you know what? Shout out to California, because even the conservative gun store owners still understand the industry. And they're like, hey, man, if you could look, I got a couple pitches.
Yeah. It was Virginia, actually.
I got the screenplay.
Oh, wait, who was the California gun store thing?
Oh, I thought it was Virginia. Maybe it was California.
See, this goes back to what Megan said. This is a problem with Instagram stories. Everyone's got it, so everyone thinks they're a goddamn movie star, even in Virginia.
Right.
Yeah, gross.
Yeah, it was in Riverside.
Oh, it was in Riverside? Yeah. And that's in Virginia?
Riverside, California.
That's the Virginia of California.
Come on, bro. You don't fuck with Riverside, dude?
Sorry.
Genocide, homicide, suicide, Riverside.
That was an actual shirt.
That's a t-shirt I've seen before.
It is an actual shirt. I'm sure you could still get it at like a Riverside. Hot Topic
or
the like.
Oh, God, yeah. But, they were like, they're probably like, I actually have a pilot presentation. It's not just a, you know, like a Bible. I've got it all, you know.
They have the title. The show has a title. I forget what it is, but they were like, yeah, our show blank blank, which we're pitching around. So
that's beautiful.
He's on the
scene. Working title.
Gun store.
Yeah.
Gun store. It's called Gun Store. All right, let's do a little Google Trend skim / pop culture check in. Miles, you and I are both watching Sharp Objects. Are you guys watching Sharp Objects?
On HBO?
I'm not.
HBO.
Pretty good.
I'd say first two episodes, very good.
Same crew behind Big Little Lies. Yeah. And again, for me, the editing is so good. And the music, too. In general. Loving it.
Is that the one? Who is it? What's her name?
Amy Adams.
Yeah, that one.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I haven't read the book, so I'm just fully not knowing what's going on.
Well, why would you when there's a TV show?
I know.
Are you, a nerd?
Yeah. Like, I started doing that with Game of Thrones. I was like, maybe I'll do it. And then I was like, nah. Because, you know, I can't read either. So.
Right. That's the other problem. It takes up a lot of time with us having to read the stories 2 miles.
Jack, go back. What is
now? Who's that guy with the white beard again? Yeah.
And he's doing it all through Snapchat.
Yeah.
So it takes a very long time.
Jack's like, I really gotta. It's my kid's birthday. Like, Jack, you promised me another chapter.
I need to go nana.
But I haven't been this on board with the first two episodes of a series in a long time. And super producer Anna Hosnier did read the book, and she says it pays off. So all good things. It feels a little like Big Little Lies crossed with the first season of True Detective to me. Like, it has that sort of gothic Southern
on board
vibe to it.
I mean, I think the aesthetic is what makes it feel Big Little Lies. And again, the editing, man.
Yeah.
So well edited amongst everything else. But like, it's one of those few shows where I like look at the editing and I'm like, this is taking it to the next level.
Yeah.
Oh, so check it out. I will not go outside on this beautiful day. We'll sit in my apartment and just watch this show.
I highly recommend.
And the author of Sharp Objects, the same author who wrote Gone Girl. So.
Right. Which.
For you literary heads out there. Book heads, as I call you.
For you litter heads.
Litter heads, yeah.
Litter heads.
Nerds.
All you like literate people. Freaks.
Oh, I can read.
Miles and I have both seen movies in the theater.
Yes.
Miles, cinema. You saw?
I saw Sorry to Bother You last
yeah.
night. Yeah. Woo!
I want to see that so bad.
So
I've
good.
Been so excited for that
Man,
movie.
This whole black surrealism wave is blowing my mind. And it's just, it's fantastic. The film, you know, it straddles the surreal and absurd. And sometimes it's so surreal that it's so real sometimes. And it's just amazing. You know, Boots Riley, great script, great direction. Lakeith Stanfield, Tessa Thompson, everybody's doing great. And also Toon Yards, whose track we played yesterday on the outro, that group scored the film. So, like, even the music is really good. And Boots Riley said he didn't want to do traditional scoring. He wanted something that felt a little bit different. And, yeah, I can't recommend Sorry to Bother You enough, especially if it's in a city where it's playing. Go see it.
Yeah. And I saw an even more important movie, Ocean's 8, last weekend, which is still in theaters. So, you know.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was fun. It was, you know, the best Ocean's movie since Ocean's 11, I'd say.
Nice.
Really?
The cast is great. There's a weirdly, like, anti-journalism scene that just, like, stuck out to me where Helena Bonham Carter is being confronted by Sandra Bullock and Kate Blanchett, and she's like, wait, are you guys cops? And they're like, no. And she's like, are you guys something else? And they're like, no. And they're like, she's like, are you guys journalists? And they're like, no, no. And it's like, wait, what? Whoa. Why is that like a bad?
Ocean's 8 is a bunch of women,
because they're the
right?
real enemy.
Yeah, yeah. Ocean's 8 is like Sandra Bullock. Yeah.
Are you a journalist? No, we're pretty. We don't read.
Yeah, exactly.
What do we look like? A bunch of litterheads to you?
Look at my nails. You think I have this manicure and I'm typing all day? Fuck
I know.
No.
Please. And what is that about? Are they trying to just like steal a bunch of tampons from a gym? I haven't seen it.
That's what I thought going in. Yeah. I mean, you're right on.
Because their husbands pay for everything. Yeah, exactly.
Right, exactly. Where do they have time to do that?
Right.
Yeah. But other than that, really, really fun movie. We also did a quick Google trend skim, and there are car-sized fish called Goliath grouper that are, I think, 8 feet long and like 800 pounds. I think I just put too many eights in there. I'm probably fucking the numbers
Ocean 8.
Up.
Right. Yeah. Oh, it's all
and
right.
Sandra Bullock got
done hacked your mind.
One. Yeah. No, but there's just this video that people should check out where a guy has hooked a 3-foot shark and is bringing it into his boat, and just a giant like thing from a fucking myth, a giant like thing that looks like a goldfish, doesn't have teeth, just comes up and swallows the fucking shark in one bite. It's the scariest thing. I don't know why it's scarier that it's a giant.
That can't be real. I want to watch it.
I want to watch
that
video
immediately.
Are you sure you weren't just watching the trailer to The Meg?
Yeah.
It's not The Meg, because The Meg makes sense because it's a big, scary shark. This is a big, scary grouper, and apparently Goliath grouper are a thing. They are a protected species in the Everglades, so you can't kill them, which you should be able to, in my humble opinion.
Okay, we're watching.
So
this.
There's the little.
Oh, well,
this I can.
I'm going to the.
No, well,
the
wait,
lake.
We can watch it. No, this. Yeah, when are you going to the lake?
Next month. Well, no, never.
Well, all if right, it's the size go. Of a car, you can ride it like a
and
horse
and die.
The little shark and then
oh
this other
gosh.
Thing, just 500-pound grouper, took it,
just sucked it in
that,
like a
I
piece of pasta.
Hate it.
So
well,
a lot of people.
It was nice to hang out with you guys. I'll be dead in a month.
Yeah.
They say they are the size of a small car. And
oh my God. Now I wonder if that grouper, what would be interesting to follow is now if he eats a 3-foot shark, does he have to lay still somewhere or does
right,
he
right,
just keep going?
Just keeps moving.
Right. And he also later that day, for some reason, they were able to just like follow this grouper around and it ate a stingray. So they're just out here just swallowing fucking everything.
All right,
in their
asshole
path.
Grouper.
I know.
Fuck off.
Have they ever eaten a people?
A people?
A single people?
I think it would need to be a baby, but we should give it a shot.
That's,
yeah.
That's a people. That's a tiny people.
Hey, you know, volunteer your child. You know, we'll do it safe. We don't put them in a harness and just be like,
no.
Okay, so we do know that they do have an appetite for baby.
Miles, let's talk about Lord of the Rings, China style.
Yo, okay. First of all, we've all seen in the last few years, like China is clearly has a gravitational pull on our film industry. Whether it's, you know, people in the Avengers movie using phones we've never seen before, like the Vivo phone that like Tony Stark's using. it's not available in the U.S. or like Skyscraper.
And it's
the,
not even a good phone. Like no, people, it's like an awful phone. People in China are like, oh, that's like our worst phone.
Yeah. It's like the Track, but isn't it like the Track phone where it's just like super cheap and everybody
can
have
it? It's like a burner. Tony Stark is using a burner, like a net, what's it called, burner?
He's a drug dealer.
Yeah. And like Skyscraper takes place in Hong Kong. Like, you know, there have been things like in Transformer films where you see like Chinese companies emblazoned like in like the background of shots or whatever. So clearly, you know, it's a huge market. And films like Transformers, literally, they need China to stay profitable because they did awful here, but then they can make some of their money overseas. Well, anyway, recently they just put out their version of Lord of the Rings, which apparently is like the most expensive film that they've made ever. I think it was like $112 million.
Yeah,
the
$112
budget.
Million.
It's called Asura. And it's the most expensive Chinese film ever. And it uses like Chinese mythology and culture to like kind of create a Lord of the Rings narrative. And when you look at some of the stills, like they're also clearly just ripping off like Khaleesi hairstyles and stuff. Yeah.
There's a Khaleesi. There is a little magical sidekick creature that evokes Mac and Me more than any other.
Oh, I saw that picture and was so excited for how shitty that looked.
It looks like a piece of candy corn grew a tooth out of its head. Or something. Yeah. It's like weird.
It's so weird looking.
Very
It looks cheap.
Unsettling.
Also, like, I can't believe the 112 million. How much of that went to creating that little guy? Because I don't think any.
I think what happened was the like 95% of that money went to the costume designer who did a bunch of Coke and Molly and then was like, yeah, shit, I got like $7.
Oh, shit.
Is there a Michaels around here? Yeah.
All right, fuck it. Paper mache, big head, put this horn on top. Good, 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 good. I wonder wear these tights.
I do wonder if that part of the Hollywood culture immediately, like translates over to China because China's like not a big like drug culture. Like they kill people for doing drugs.
Right.
But if like the second they start making movies, they're like, all right, we're going to need like loads of cocaine. Here.
I've heard tell of this pure Colombian that apparently gets the creative juices flowing.
Back up the trucks.
So anyway, this movie was supposed to kick off like a fucking trilogy. They were like, this is it. Here we go. And my goodness, it fucking was a total bust. They made, like, the first weekend, $7.4 million. And, like, it got a basically 3.1 out of 10 rating on, like a Chinese equivalent of, like, sort of Rotten Tomatoes kind of thing.
Yeah,
and
the user reviews gave it 3.1 out of 10.
Then, like, the producers came out and they're like, these are just people trying to smear the movie. Like, it's actually really good. But apparently something was not good because they pulled the fucking movie like just days after the release. And we're like, we're really sorry to people who didn't get to see it. You know, we feel really bad for you. Not just this like massive financial L that we took. But, you know, we'll see how that works.
Honestly, that might work, like, in the long run. It's the same reason that people like Snapchat and the stories, because it disappears. They put it in there, like, if we take it away, it'll get, like, you know, it'll create
that's
this,
interesting.
Like,
you
know,
maybe
like, this cult thing.
Doing.
And then they're going to just re-release it again in a different, for another, like, 2 days.
Or it's like, remember that hidden movie that was only out for 5 days? Now it's on Blu-ray.
Right.
You can buy it. You can own this shit.
Like, that's the Disney Classics thing. They would only, like, release it for, like, a month, and you would be able to get Cinderella VHS for a month. Yeah, that's smart.
Cinderella on VHS, huh?
What?
Don't they?
I don't have that. You have that. I just noticed it in your collection.
I just remember how those boxes, like, back in the day were, like,
the
real plushy.
Yeah,
I was like, why are they all soft? And then you, like, throw it at your friend.
Yeah.
I don't know. Was that just me?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, never mind.
Wait, with or without the tape inside of
it? Oh, with. How are you going to get that velocity? You need that weight. Just to whip Aladdin at your friend.
Well, guys, it's been so much fun having you here. Where can people find you and follow you on social media and tell us about your podcast?
Well, I do not have Twitter. I don't fuck with Twitter.
There you go. Put you on the gram?
I am on the gram. I'm at Handsome Party Butt.
Yeah,
so
you are.
A good compliment my friend's son gave me once.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wait, just as one line, you're like, you are handsome party butt.
No, he came up to me and said, you got a handsome party butt.
Wow.
And I was like, thank you. That is the nicest thing anyone has ever
Finally,
said to me.
Finally, someone recognizes this.
And then also, at Jammers.
Yeah, on Instagram and Twitter, our podcast is at Jammers Pod. And it's Jammers with a Z. Mm-hmm. And then my social media, I'm on Twitter, at Wendy Starling. It's Wendy with an I at the end, and on Instagram at WendyBird82. And if you're in New York, I run a monthly show there called Glamour Puss. It's a live show that I do at Zinc Bar, and it is a very fun stand-up show, and we bring variety acts in that we find on Craigslist, so it's like crazy people.
Oh, wow.
It's the most fun. I do it with Christina Hutchinson, and it's the most fun. So if you're in New York, check it out.
Okay, okay.
You guys are great with the fun nonsense words. Glamour Puss is awesome. Do you guys have a tweet that you've been enjoying that you wouldn't mind sharing with our listeners?
Again, I do not have Twitter. So anything that Donald Trump did not tweet, that's my favorite one.
Okay, so this is my new favorite tweet, and I've read this out loud to myself three times in the last day. So this is from Dylan at DYLANC3Es. And she tweeted, "My drunk ass boyfriend just asked me, who's the handsomest man in the world? And I said, you. And he goes, false. It's fucking Ryan Reynolds." That has made me laugh.
That is a good drunk.
That's great. It's a nice, honest drunk man.
I know. That's wonderful. Miles, where can people find you?
Oh, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. And the tweet I like was this onion one because I was in a real nihilistic mood yesterday. It says, FBI uncovers Al-Qaeda plot to just sit back and enjoy collapse of United States.
That's my favorite onion title ever.
The photo is like an Al-Qaeda member like chilling on a couch watching TV like laid back. Like, right. Yeah, this shit's fucked up.
The arm over the head.
Classic.
Tweet I've been enjoying. John Ross Bowie tweeted, "I met TJ Miller once 5 years ago, and I pretended I'd never heard of him and made him say his name three times, and that remains the funniest thing I've ever done." The Silicon Valley cast has been in the news lately.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what's your name? I'm sorry again? Yeah. I'm sorry again? Oh, God, what a power move.
Are you a comedian? What do you do? You're a writer?
CJ what? Okay.
You can find me at Jack_O'Brien on Twitter. You can follow us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that going to be today?
I'm just kind of still in like an 80s vibe mood, and I was just thinking of an album I was really listening to about 11 years ago by New Young Pony Club from their album called Fantastic Playroom, and there's this track called The Get Go that I really like. It feels neutral. It reminds me of a time when things were simpler and I had an LG phone. So remember this is The Get Go by New Young Pony Club.
All right, we're gonna ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast. We'll talk to you guys then. Bye.